What I've been doing on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and I have about 18 minutes to 7. I'll have to do this fast, but what I have done, we've been in a study on the spiritual renewal. It has to do with Nehemiah, an Old Testament prophet. Nehemiah, and God has sent him home. The children of Israel are off in captivity, and Nehemiah has a burden on his heart, and that is to go back home and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so the king of sends him back home. This Persian king sends him home and gets back, and they begin to rebuild the wall. He runs into all kind of opposition. And we studied in the last few weeks how two guys by the name of Tobiah and Sanballat, they've criticized him and ridiculed him. He's been kind of discouraged, but he keeps on. And at this point, Rob, they got the wall is about halfway built. And that's where we are in chapter 5 tonight. And I want to talk to you about handling people problems wisely. Did any of you ever have any people problems? Anybody? We all have. If you live with people, you've had some people problems. And that's part of life, isn't it? But Nehemiah chapter 5. And I want to say that for me, worship involves basically three things. One of them is prayer. Another is music. And another is the Scripture, the Word of God. And that's why we come to the house of God, is to hear from the Word of God, to commune with God, and to hear Him, and to hear from His book. And so the Bible said we ought to preach the whole counsel of God, and God has called me to do that, and I love these Old Testament prophets. So tonight, very quickly, I want to read from Nehemiah 5 and talk to you very quickly about how to handle people's problems wisely. Nehemiah chapter 5. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up coin from them, for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also some that said, we borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and our vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought into bondage already, neither it is in our power to redeem them, for other men have lands and vineyards. Now I want to stop right there and say this, that what Nehemiah is dealing with here, the devil's already tried to discourage him using these outsiders, these non-Jewish people, to prevent their religious renewal, spiritual renewal. And I believe that if he can't hurt us, the devil can't hurt us externally, he'll try to hurt us internally. And so that's what we see here tonight. The wall of Jerusalem is half built, but now news comes that some of these Jews are trying to take advantage of their brothers and their sisters. And this is how Nehemiah is going to deal with it, with these problems, people problems. Now in the army, Ev, we really have an army decision-making process. This is pretty much common sense, and Bill, and one of them is you identify the problem, and then number two, you develop some courses of action. Number three is you choose a course of action. And number four is you implement the course of action. And that's kind of the army way of doing things. But here, Nehemiah has four steps too. One of them is he listens carefully to what the problem is. Let me tell you what the problem was. The problem was that some of these people were just about starved to death because they had mortgaged their homes and their lands, everything they had to feed their children. And some of their rich friends were taking advantage of them. And do you think this ever happened in a storm? You think this ever happened? I think it's happened. And the Bible says in Leviticus 25, God gave them a prohibition against that. He said this in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 36. He said, take thou no usury, that means no interest, of him or increase, but fear the Lord thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. what they had, Jackson, that was in the Levitical law. It said, don't charge interest to your brother. Help him out. Help him out. Don't do that. But what happened here was they were having a hard time. Some of them didn't have enough food to eat, and they were selling their children. Some of them, it says, we've mortgaged, verse 3, our lands and vineyards and houses and all we have to buy corn. And then they said, and even their flesh, they took our daughters to be servants. And so the first thing he did, though, first way he handled it, Chester, number one, old Nehemiah, listen carefully. Then here's number two in verse 6. He carefully considered. Verse 6 says, I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, you exact usury or interest, every one of you from his brother. So what he said there, second of all, Mike, he said, I considered myself. In other words, he thought about this. I think what he's saying is here that he was shocked and mad, and that these people would victimize their unfortunate neighbors. But although he was infuriated, he listened. He took time. And Bible says in James 1:19 that we ought to be what? Slow to what? Quick to hear, slow to speech, and slow to anger. And that was good. And so what he does, that's what he does. He talks to more than one or two people. He gets a good picture. But I think it is to be noted here, being that he really didn't get mad at Sanballat and Tobiah, because he didn't expect any better from non-believers. But he did expect better from the people of God. And I want to tell you tonight, the world expects more of me because I'm a Baptist preacher. I want to tell you tonight, the world expects more of you if you are a Baptist deacon. The world expects more of you if you're a Sunday school teacher. The world expects more of you if you are just a member of this church. God expects more of you if you're a member of the bell choir or the sanctuary choir or the musician or staff member. God, the world expects more of you. And I want to just tell you that he didn't get angry with these non-Jews, but he did get upset with God's people who knew his way and transgressed it and violated it anyway. Third point is this. I said number one, the way to handle difficult people is, people problems. Number one is listen closely. Number two, consider carefully. And then number three, respond biblically. And we read in verse 7b, he said, and I set a great assembly against them. He called a great assembly. And I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then they held their peace and found nothing to answer. Also I said, it is not good that you do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise and my brethren, my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses. Also the hundredth part of the money, and of the corn, the wine, the oil, that ye exact of them. Then said they, we will restore them, and we require nothing of them. So we will do as thou sayest. And then I called the priest and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. Also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. Even thus be he be shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said amen and praised the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. I'm going to say third point is he acted biblically. He responded biblically to correct this problem. He calls a great assembly. And he said, now here's what ought to happen. You loan sharks. And I've seen some loan sharks. I've seen people take advantage sometimes of, I've seen widows, Leanne, taken advantage of when they sold things. They wanted to sell maybe a man's tools or his guns or something like that when somebody died. Some of you have known some things like that. But that's kind of the situation here. They took advantage of them, and they knew what they were doing was wrong. And Nehemiah called them together, and he said, now, this ought not to be. This ought not to happen. And by the way, you think that happened in the New York storms? We've had a storm up there. We had storm. I don't know if anybody ever got taken advantage of in Enterprise, Alabama, when the storm came years ago. But I know there's always, I hate to say this, but some of them are like human vultures, and where they can take advantage of somebody and can beat something to take. Well, really, it's just the misfortune. Really, capitalizing on the misfortune of somebody else. And there's nothing wrong making a profit in business. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying God has some particular things for His people, the Jews. And Exodus chapter 22 says something about that. Let me turn and read it to you. In Exodus 22, God said about this. He said, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. And that means interest. Not for poor people. Your brothers, you're not to do that. And so he had them to take an oath. And he said, he had them to take an oath. And then he did a symbolic thing, Josh. He took his garments and somehow he shook his garments. And he said, if you break this oath that you said you was going to do, that you're going to follow God's word, if you break this oath, God's going to shake you out of His lap, just like that. And the Bible says, the people said, amen. And they praised God. They said, what God has said, we will do it. And so I want to tell you that third point about working with people, this people problem, was he responded biblically. And then the fourth thing I want to make is, the end of the chapter, he lived consistently. He didn't preach one thing and live something else. And a preacher ought never to do that. It's wrong for me to come in here, or a teacher. And he said in verses 14 and through verse 19, I'll read it, we'll close. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, for 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governor that had been before me were chargeable unto the people and had taken of them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did I not, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of the wall, neither brought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was an ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store all sorts of wine. Yet all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon the people. Here's what he said. He said, I was a governor of the land, and I had a right. The government gave him the right to charge taxes, to tax the people, and say, because I'm a governor, you got to bring me some cattle or sheep. He could tax. But he said, I never use that authority. I never use that privilege. And more than that, the Bible says how many people ate at his table. You see how many? 150. He fed 150 people. He could have done that. But another thing, Marie, he worked like the rest of them worked. He didn't say one thing. He didn't say do as I do, but he went with them to the work. And I love that. I love that in a leader. A leader that will go, will do, not ask anybody to do something. We was up at a night upstairs, and I saw, and we had something was spilled on the floor. Somebody spilled some tea, and bless his heart, you know, one of the great servants of this church, his name is Carlos is right. How'd you figure? That's exactly who it was. And I said, Carlos, do we have a mop? And he said, let me get that up. I'll clean it up. Let me do that. But I don't think it's wrong. I didn't ask him to do it. But I think a leader ought to be willing. Ought to be willing to set the example. And I wouldn't ask Craig to do something that I won't do myself. I wouldn't ask Ben to do if I won't do it myself. And this man who, Nehemiah, a great leader, he set the example in his own life. And though he could have had that. I like the way he closes the chapter, and we'll close. He says, verse 19, think upon me, my God. After he said all this, he said, think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I've done for these people. And I believe one reason he may have said that was because at the end of his life, Chuck, he wanted to hear the words of Jesus. If you read Matthew 25, and I think it's verse 21, it's in red letters. What does that mean, in red letters? What does that mean? Jesus said it. And the last thing he said was there, Chad, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I'm going to help with Jesse Birchfield's funeral on Tuesday. Probably one of the scriptures I read. I saw Carol this afternoon, and John and Maxine were there. I saw Matt and Julie and the grandkids. I think we can say that about Jesse Birchfield. We could certainly say it about Zadel Mitchell, who we buried from this church this week. And that's what I hope one day they'll say over me. Well done. We could say it about Nehemiah. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I pray that I could say that from my heart for everybody here tonight. We could say it for Ray.